Bibles to Job chapter 26. Job 26. Title tonight, and it'll probably be 2 weeks. Okay. And because there's six questions of the child of God that we're going to ask, and tonight, we'll, hopefully we can look at three, and if I can't only look at two, maybe it'll be 3 weeks. We'll see what the Lord does with this. And God changed my message as I was looking at other things. I thought I was going to be preaching in one direction, and at 3 o'clock this afternoon, he laid it on my heart with this. And you find in Job chapter 6, you got to remember, Job is a picture of a suffering saint. Okay, he's held up in the Old Testament as one of the most, he and Daniel are the most righteous men of the whole Old Testament time. And Job had friends, and we've all had friends, okay? And they were with him for part of it. But you know what happens so many times? When you continue to go through something, people start going, well, if they were right with God, God would deliver them. And that's not necessarily true. And I don't know why my watch is beeping at me. My other one went dead. I put this one on tonight. Must be an alarm on it. Okay. And here we have Job is talking to his three friends here in chapter 26. But Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee?" Again, it's a picture of the suffering of the Jews that they'll face during the tribulation. It's a picture of the suffering saint. You can relate to that different times, you know, when someone, you think they're going to help you, and the next thing you know, they're condemning you. And that my mother used to say, until you've walked 10 miles in my moccasins, don't say you know where I've been. And my mother would say, "Honey child, you give God time because he brings the truth to light. And you can either be a help to a person or you can be a hindrance to them. And it's all going to depend on your attitude and how you approach them." So I look at that, and you know, there's different things that takes place here. And his friends, originally, when you read the book of Job, if you've had, and I've read it 300 plus times, they came to weep with him. They came to carry him. They came to mourn with him. And they ended up condemning him. And we have to be very, very careful because there's questions Job asks that we need to ask ourselves as we have interaction with people. And we know nothing about what's going on with them. You know, until you get both sides of a story, you don't have the story. You know, that's what people like to say, right? You got to get both sides. Well, you know what there is? There's not two sides to a story. There's three. There's the one person's side, the other person's side, and then God's truth. And until those two sides match God's truth, no help is coming. No help is coming. It gets to the place that in Job, at one point, Job calls his friends, and they were his good friends, miserable comforters. Are ye all physicians of no value? That's not where we ought to be. Where we ought to be. My wife, she's trying to, God's doing some amazing things. We're having an opportunity. You know, I get to witness to a Muslim in Pakistan. My wife is ministering to a Messianic Jew in Israel. You know, she's, you're doing these things. And I want you to understand, okay, God's opening doors around the world. Are you willing to see those doors? Are you willing to? It's in a place and a thing. I have no concept in my Christian walk of what it's like trying to be treated for a serious life-threatening disease and have to drop everything and have a nurse help me get into an underground bomb shelter. But we don't hear about that stuff in this country, do we? So I want you to think about these questions we find in Job 26. You can't get away from it. We should not be physicians of no value. I'm rereading some material, counseling material from Dr. George Crabb. He was one of the founding doctors and used in the old Reformers Unanimous ministry. He left that. He's in Florida. He's also a full-time Baptist pastor. And he used to be on the president under Bush. He was on President Bush's Council for Addictions, National Council on How to Deal with That. And you know what we have trouble understanding how to help. You know, sometimes you know what you need to do? They started out right. They came to weep with those who weep. My flesh wells up when things interfere. I'm sorry. Throw my watch at a one-eyed woman. Okay? But you understand how we got with this, and we look at these six questions. Job is questioning them. I've hit the button to stop that thing, okay? But he doesn't want this message tonight. Do you understand me? Because I know how to operate that one. I hit the mode, I hit the reset, and it's resetting me. Okay, and we look at these six questions back in Job 26. And the first one is, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How has that helped him? Do you know the unsaved are powerless to save themselves? How many times do we judge somebody for what they do wrong and not to take time to see them as God sees them? They're lost and undone without hope and without God in this world. Okay? They're powerless. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Right? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God, and it's in the giving of the gospel. Not in the receiving of, it's in the giving. The receiving is a free will choice, and you pray for the Holy Spirit to work, but you know what God won't do? God won't save somebody against their will. So the power is the presentation of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, and you got to understand, it's in the giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I've had people that want to be thought of as knowing their Bible real well. You know, in one place it says in, another place it says on. Well, you can't just believe in Jesus. You've got to believe on Jesus. Ah, nuts. Know you're a sinner. Accept him as the payment for your sin and ask him to save you. Let's not play with it, okay? Let's not make the gospel any more difficult than what it is. Okay? God gave his Son. Jesus gave his life. Jesus suffered an eternity in hell in 6 hours' time on the cross, and I don't have an understanding of that. I know that when I've been in places with severe pain and something going on in my body and I can't stop it, and I'm just spasming, and I am hurting, that the hours seemed like months. Okay? And my Savior suffered an eternity in 6 hours. I have no concept of that other than what the Word of God shows. Because he suffered hell on the cross. He cried out just as the rich man in hell did, I thirst. He gave it all. And you know something? Do you feel powerless? Sometimes you say, I feel powerless. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Don't condemn them in what they are doing. And some have compassion, making a difference. If they know they're a sinner, tell them there's hope for the sinner. If they're self-righteous, and some hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Because you got to get them lost before you can get them saved, right? Okay, but the point of the matter is by mercy and truth, what? Iniquity is purged. Mercy without truth is enablement to continue. Truth without mercy is a lack of hope because there's condemnation. You have no power in and of yourself, carnally, physically, to see someone saved. The Apostle Paul, I believe the greatest Christian to ever walk the face of this earth, because Jesus is the Christ, he's not a Christian. He is the second member of the Godhead. He is God the Son, not just a Son of God. The Apostle Paul knew his Bible better than anyone else because it was given to him by what? Revelation. Do you know over half of your New Testament is ascribed by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul? And he talks about there in 2 Corinthians, because of the abundance of the revelations given me, there was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, for which he besought the Lord three times, and God didn't take it away. And he's asking why. And it's okay to ask God why. Do you know that? It's okay. If it isn't, then there's no kid that would be alive, because if they couldn't ask why, most mother would kill their kids before they ever got past three, because that's their favorite word, isn't it, until about 10. And then they start arguing with you because they think they know why. But until that point, it's why. Well, you know what? God's a better parent than I ever thought of being. And he knows more than any other parent. And he loves more than any other parent. And he's more merciful than any other parent. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. So it's not in our power. It's the power of God through the giving of the gospel, which tells people what Christ gave for them. You still with me? How has that helped him that is without power? You can't get away from it. How do we deal with problems? Do you go to the Lord for with them? If you don't go to the Lord, do you think, and I gotta remember, you gotta remember this, everybody has somebody who's following them. Everybody has somebody they're looking at as an example. Now you gotta turn and have them turn to look at to Christ, because we fail so many times, but you know the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. He didn't say, be ye followers of me as I lost it with the other disciples. Right? John Mark was needful, but not at the one point. In case you have this, you know, and you run into problem, and I want you to think about this. Are you as a Christian looking for someone to help you and to meet your needs? Or are you looking to help someone else? How hast thou helped him that is without power? Turn, let me see here, I've got to go the right thing, it's in my mind. That's a dangerous place to be. Okay. My wife is laughing at me. All right. I'm thinking of the passage. Galatians. That's it. I was getting caught in Corinthians. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, what? Do what? Such a one, how? In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, that's when we get offended. You know that? That's when we get bitter. The sin of offense is the greatest tool of Satan. I don't deserve to be treated that way. I don't deserve to have that said to me. I don't deserve to not be honored the way I'm supposed to be. I don't deserve this. If I got what I deserved, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Someone got their wings. I don't know. Amen. Okay. Amen. Second question. Moving on. Second question in Job chapter 6 or 26. How savest the arm that hath no strength? What is that question saying to you? You know, I can't save anybody else eternally. I can't do that. But you know what I can do? I can jump in because I've always been a strong swimmer. I know how to hold them around their chest and hold their chin up out of the water and pull them backwards. And if I have to, knock them out so they don't drown both of us and get them to shore. I know how to swim fast. Carla must be in the nursery tonight. Yeah. My wife, we went over to my son's wedding in Hawaii. And we went swimming in Hawaii. Yes, we went swimming. Okay. And my wife thought it would be fun to follow this sea tortoise. And she had goggles and she's trying to watch the sea tortoise. And it pulled her out over the reef that had these vortexes. And my wife, very curious, but not a very strong swimmer. And pretty soon she's over the top of this vortex and she's going, and she's kicking for all she's worth. And my son Michael, and I, he looks at me, it's for Michael, come down with the MS. And he goes, I'm faster, Dad. And we both took off and he grabbed her because she was going where? And she could do nothing about it because the water was pulling her down faster than she could come out. And I still remember, Michael told Carla, stay there. We go get Judy out. Carla decided to try to come out to figure out what's going on, and she ran into another one. And pretty soon, and they're going down. And she starts crying, and Carla drank half the ocean. And Judy's going, all I wanted to do was see the tortoise. Yeah, Steve Ford, they were at the wedding. They were swimming with us. He said, it's out there. It's beautiful. Look, I've never seen a sea tortoise before. Sometimes you get into circumstances when you think it's a good idea and you really don't know what's going on around you. How save us the arm that hath no strength? I wonder what would have happened to the children of Israel if Moses didn't have two men to hold his arm up. Sometimes that's what you need to do for your pastor. So busy holding someone else that they can start going down themselves. It's trying to tell us, how do you help someone who can't carry the load anymore? I want you to get this picture. Sometimes it's with a lost person and they're going over the cliff. Sometimes it's another believer who's just going through it. Sometimes they're going through it because of their sin. Sometimes they're going through it because of their loved one's sin. Sometimes they're going through it because God's going to get glory out of it. You know, I've had to tell a lot of people, they go, I don't know why God let this come to me, why I'm in the hospital, why I had to have the surgery. And I said, because God wanted you to witness to the person in the bed next to you. And if you belong to him, that's no problem. Because it's about him and them and not about you. And all of a sudden you try to help them get a different perspective on it, and then they say, I can do that. I've had them call me up and say, Pastor, could you make an extra trip and bring a Bible to me? They want a Bible, and they need more tracts. I think I can lead them to the Lord. One hospital bed to the next. Sometimes they're hanging on, and they can't reach up to take hold of you. You know, it's like they've gone over the cliff. You've got to do what? Reach down to them. They're almost gone. They're clinging. They don't know what to do. They're trying to hang on. Can you throw them a rope? They don't have the strength to catch it. When I look at this, I think of my Uncle Bud. Afraid to die, I carried him at least 20 times into the bathroom because he soiled the bed as his body was shutting down that night. Afraid to die. And he had no strength. And he got saved 1.5 hour before he quit breathing after an all night long. My back killed me for a month. But I'd do that again 100 times. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give when the arm has no strength? If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That context of that says we have to prove our own work, and we've got to carry our own load. Judy's been diagnosed with osteopenia. Heather, because of the cancer, the medicines and stuff, even if she's younger, diagnosed with osteopenia, her structure, body can't handle it. And you know what happens? If you don't move, it gets what? Worse. You have to stress it to strengthen the bones. If you don't, they deteriorate fast. You have to prove your own work. You carry your own load, and when you can't carry it, you know what they're supposed to be? Another arm to take hold of you. You know what we need to be as believers, one to another? As Howard would tell you, you can be closer and have more love in a church family than many times you can have in your natural family. How savest the arm that hath no strength? We'll do just that one more question and we'll be done for tonight. That's verse 3. How hast thou counseled him that hath what? Hath no wisdom. Job in chapter 12, verse 13, he's speaking about God. He says, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Psalm 33 and verse 11, the counsel of the Lord, that standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know what we do? We live in a day and age, you know, Christians, fundamental, Bible-believing, conservative Christians, will use the language of psychology before they use the scripture. And they know more about that than they know about the scripture. Who knows more about you than a psychologist? We'll give it names for all these things, and generally, you know what it is? Choosing it not to do it God's way, or having someone hurt because the person involved with them chose not to do it God's way. You know what the answer is? God's way, even when you don't understand. We got in a day and age where pastors surrender counseling. Thank God it's not in this church, but they surrender counseling to the psychologist and the psychiatrist who only treat two parts. Because they don't deal with the soul because they don't know about it. How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? I had someone tell me, you use that King James Bible, it's archaic. That's not the language of today. I have a book in my office that says, Why Do We Say What We Say? It gives over 800 examples of colloquialism. That's a fancy way for funny sayings that we say all the time. And the first place you find them is in a King James Bible. And you don't find them in the newer ones because they've changed the language. Fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. And knowledge of the holy is what? I was talking to, I won't give too much information, I won't give it away, but someone I love dearly, and they visit another church because of a family situation. And they go, well, Pastor, I just wanted to hit my feet together like ruby slippers. Because what did she say? No place like home. And he goes, I'm so used to getting fed that when someone gives me a small burger from McDonald's, it's just not a meal. And he's talking about the preaching of the word. He said, I heard four scripture verses in a half hour. And he says, I never would have been able to grow like that. How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? That's why we need to reap. Seek ye out the book of the Lord in. Read. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what the best way it happens? Because Pastor Kinney understands. He's been there. He's learning that. Sometimes he can't put enough hats on today. All right? You just can't. All right? You know, we turn around, do things, and you go to do something, and you go, I just can't do this. I don't know what to say to him any longer. I've said what God said. I've tried it. I've had other people tell me. You know, they ask you a question. And anybody who's worked with me in counseling, when someone asks you, when they try to explain something to you from one direction, and you don't get it, you know what happens when they come to me? I try to approach it from another direction. And when they don't get it, I approach it from another direction. They're going, I got it, okay? I got it the first time. Well, then tell me. I wouldn't have approached it from two other directions with other scripture verses, and I wouldn't have said, it's like this. How have you counseled them that hath no wisdom? You don't need to hear about your feelings because they'll betray you. When I struggle with something and I start getting all pouty about myself because I'm just not appreciated. In my home, you know what it used to be? It used to be, oh, poor baby. Nobody loves you. Go eat worms and die. That's what was said in my home. Okay? Now, she and I love each other dearly. But she'll tell me every now and then, suck it up, buttercup. Put on your big boy panties. Lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. I just don't want to deal with it any longer. I need tapioca. That cures everything with me. They don't need to know my feelings. I want you to know something, men. If I hear about you hitting your wife, and I got to try to counsel with you and your wife, you know what I have to put down in myself? Dragging you outside and beating you with a bat because it's not going to help you. It may help me feel better about it. When I hear about a woman who tears down her husband all the time, have I run into that before? Yes. You don't know what I want to say. But I'm telling you this. Shakespeare wrote about it, called Taming of the Shrew. But my feelings about it aren't going to help. God's word is. God is. God's word is. See, because I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So they need to hear from God and not from me. And that's what we seek to do in this pulpit. And that's why you hear so much scripture. Because God has the answers. And when we're weak, He is strong. These are the first three questions. How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest the arm that has no strength? And how hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? In the phrase of John Bergal and Oon when they came, he goes, Pastor, this church is the church of it shall be continued. Next Wednesday night. Good night and God bless.